This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. 3-hour banger lined up today, including Paul Charchian on fire last week. Divisional round. We'll get his best bets for player props coming up in 30 minutes. And we're also going to get into mention markets that you can bet, take advantage of, study this stuff in prediction markets, like what's going to be said on the broadcast in these two games. Brad Powers, teams he's looking at right now already for next year in college football. That comes up in an hour. Lou Finocchiaro, best bets in the UFC in 90 minutes. We also have Andy Gresh on the program and Steve Wiss today as well. So I'm still waiting on some props to pop at a lot of these books. One would be for more books to offer the Denver running back props. However, we do know this about Jarrett Stidham and Sean Payton, his head coach, who came out this week and said, yeah, man, he's going to let it rip. That's who he is. They're going to throw the football, right? And Bill 80 today in the VSiN Daily email sent to your inbox every single day when you wake up, he compared the Opta AI stats to the present numbers available like a DK and some other books as well. I would say this. Do we take Payton as a man of his word? Okay.
Yep.
So if that's the case, I would say that at least three of the props for Stidham are too low right now.
Yeah.
Based on, and I'll run this down for you in a second, based on what Bo Nix did this year, throwing the football.
There are some good props out at Caesars, too, if you think they're going to sling it and he can get Sutton and these guys involved early. Like Sutton, 10 yards each quarter is 10-1, and 20 yards each quarter is 60-1. So if he comes out and I got all the faith in the world in him and, you know, the guy who knows the system, they're going to let it rip. I think there's some interesting props here. And even 50 yards each quarter is 11-1 and 100 yards each half. That absolutely is doable, is 3-1.
Well,
100 yards a half. So you might throw something at me, but the guy was awesome in the preseason. I love the Jordan Palmer audio we played yesterday. We'll hear from Hoyer coming up, who was on with the Guru. You know, the more you hear talk these guys about the coaching and being a veteran and knowing the offense, the more it makes sense that he can go out there, not embarrass himself, and actually play well. And finally, you're taking on May, who's going on the road for the first time in the playoffs. I'm starting to see the Denver case here.
And I also think it's going to be correlated to where Stidham is going to be throwing the football, and then I want everything under with the Denver running backs. Tie that in with how New England, when they're healthy on defense, they have been elite at slowing down the opposing team ground game. So, like, I want everything Harvey under running the football. Is Dobbins going to play? How much? We'll see. He's listed at zero books as we speak right now for the game, but we'll get that posted when we have more information on the likelihood of actually him giving it a shot here. But so if you, again, take what Payton said this week, the fact that it's going to be a difficult time for this team to, in theory, run the football against New England, and how Sean Payton, by the way, is the same guy who went onside after halftime when he was with the Saints in the Super Bowl against the Colts. So do you think that he has the balls of a burglar? The answer is yes. Bo Nix led the league in passing attempts this year. So his attempts, Stidham, 32.5. I'll just tie in the quarterback that he had all year. Bo Nix went over 32.5 attempts 12 times this year. That's the number for Jarrett Stidham. Nix went over 19.5 completions 19 times.
Good stats. Both guys to complete 25 passes is 28-1. What if we're completely wrong about this and it is a high scoring game and the guy's fantastic?
28-1. I'm going to have to do a deeper dive on that. But
there's great stuff up now about these props and what Stidham can do. And everyone has so much confidence in him, not to mention what Chad Andrus told us Tuesday, that this guy just is stubborn and refuses to run the football. And likes to throw it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Now, Opta AI, they're under on Stidham's passing yards. They have him going for like 190. That would be a winner by like 7 or 8 yards. Nix did go over 197.5 yards again 11 times this year. And you can pay juice on the touchdown props as well. So for Stidham to throw one touchdown pass, that's actually available. Again, juice going to be different books that you look at. Knicks threw a touchdown pass in 15 games this year. He had two or more, seven different games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the passing attempts are going to be there, which also, by the way, you got to pay $2 on him to throw an INT.
Oh, it's that high?
It's that high, is going to scare a lot of people off. I'm fairly confident in saying that Stidham's going to throw an INT. I just have to decide whether or not I want to lay the $2.
Well, maybe they don't even have success running the ball early, and Peyton gets out of that too, based on how well the New England run defense has been in the playoffs. But the only concern, maybe there isn't a big drop-off, and certainly it's an overreaction with the line and the biggest home dog in a title game since 1968. But maybe the only concern is he can't move, and he can't get out of the pocket and avoid sacks like Knicks is able to do. And there was a good breakdown on that earlier today that you sent over. But this was good. So we played the Jordan Palmer yesterday, and he talked about coaching and how important it is and the trust that they have in Stidham. Here's Hoyer going back to coaching again with Peyton and McDaniels earlier today with Guru.
I've known Jared since he was a rookie. He got drafted in New England, and we spent a lot of time together there. And then he left and went to Las Vegas with Josh McDaniels. So I would say the one thing that Jared has going for him is he's learned football at the NFL level from two of the greatest offensive minds that have ever coached this sport, in Josh McDaniels and Sean Payton. And so he hasn't played in a while. That's a disadvantage, but he understands the offense. You know, I talk to him regularly, and from the get-go, you could see that he has the mental bandwidth to be able to hand these NFL offenses. And this is not, you know, a West Coast system where the offensive line handles everything. Like from a young part of his career, Jared had to be forced with making Mike points and setting up protections and getting into the right plays. And that's what I think Sean Payton will get him into this weekend against the Patriots. And so I think, you know, the one thing that's tough is he's going to play his first real football, as you mentioned, in almost 2 years on the most important game of the season. And the level of play in the playoffs, you know, the margin of error becomes smaller and smaller. And so that's the thing, is can he go from not seeing live bullets for almost 2 years to now playing in the most important game, and how quickly can he get out there and get acclimated to that speed?
That's a great point at the end. And that's the biggest thing he has to overcome.
Right.
It's only the seventh time that a guy's making his first start in the playoffs. The previous six went 1-5. And it's the first time ever a quarterback's going to throw his first pass of the season in a playoff game. Mm. So he has one career win, and he hasn't completed a pass in 3 years.
Well, that last part was spot on. He was also, like, the praise was pretty high there for a while during that soundbite. And I was going to say it's officially getting there to me where I haven't heard one person say it's going to be a disaster for Stidham. It's all making the case and why this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I need one person to come out and say, hold on a second here. This is the worst spot ever for a guy like this. It's not going to go well. And throw in some Peyton is overrated as a coach. I don't care, whatever. And this is why the Patriots are going to coast to a victory. Like, I need to hear that from at least one person. Do we not? It's too common at this point. It's Thursday. My God, Paul. We only have a couple of days before the game yet, and it's all been positive towards this guy.
Yeah, I was with people, though, when the line opened, when it got to six. I mean, Bo Nix is worth 7 points.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. So now that it comes down, and now you're making the case where bulletin board material, you could see the case, the defense plays well, May has a couple turnovers, and they can win a low-scoring game. And not to mention the Evan Abrams angle. Home dogs going back, getting 4 points or more, 9-0 ATS, and he already got one with a winner with Carolina against the Rams.
Oh, maybe the writing is on the wall with Stidham's props. Again, here, right out of the horse's mouth, here's his head coach, Sean Payton, talking about him.
He's going to rip it, you know? And that'll be our approach. I mean, hey, he's got this calm demeanor that I think suits him well. He's played in big games, college. And, you know, I said this at the start of the season. I felt like our two was inside the best 32. And I think everyone feels that way, but that's why that sign was important.
Okay, so Stidham's played in big games? If he has, college, and that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also, does everybody agree that they have two of the best 32 quarterbacks in football?
Yeah.
We do?
I would think so, yeah.
They do, okay.
There's some terrible quarterbacks that we're starting. But it's what Palmer said yesterday, too, about that they believe in him so much. Look at the contract they gave him, knowing that he probably wasn't going to play, but the emergency just in case, and there he is in the biggest game of the season now that they need him.
Well, I mean, in terms of our wallets, Paulie, I'm there. I believe Peyton that they're going to throw the football a lot.
Yep.
So what he's always done basically is a head coach.
Yep.
So my plan was already to fade Harvey. Like, I don't think Harvey's going to be rolling the ball against the Patriots at all.
Fair.
And so I think that's going to tie into Stidham letting it rip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got to be the approach, in my opinion.
And the other angle is, can Vrabel pull this off? Only four coaches have won a Super Bowl in their first season with the team. And if he can do this, to go from the 4-13 to win the Super Bowl and do it with May, that'd be incredible if he's able to do this on the flip side. And even just to get there as well.
I will point out that the Opta AI projections at vsin.com/NFL props, they're hot and heavy on the other three quarterbacks to go over their passing yards prop with a star running back. Can I call him a star? I think so. After last week, Kenneth Walker, they are projecting him to go for 30 yards below his rushing prop number. DK right now in other books has 85.5 on Kenneth Walker's rushing yards prop. Opta AI projects 50, a little bit less than 54. He's the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
Charbonnet's out. Don, see ya.
Uh-huh.
If he runs for 54 yards in the game, I think I kind of like the Rams a lot.
I think he goes over. Yeah, I think he has a big game. Plus, there's some good props on him, too, with like 5 yards a quarter, 25 yards a half.
Yep.
I mean, that they figure he's going to hit that, and those are some plus prices, too, that I like.
Win some, lose some next. It's a long season in every sport. The best of the best, even going to Funks. No exception with this team again last night.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Right, title game Sunday, a couple of days away now. AFC, NFC, the winners obviously meet in the Super Bowl, and more on that right now as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin on the program. He's going to hang tight here for two full segments. We'll do the games first with rushing props and some receiving props here, but also in the next 15 minutes, we're going to get into mention markets, which he's been tracking a little bit throughout the football season. This is going to be fascinating. Can't wait to dive into that conversation. Charge, good afternoon, buddy. Good to see you again. How are you?
Great to see you guys as well. Saw you in studio last week. I'll see you in studio next week as well, next Thursday, and looking forward to that. But we've got two games on Sunday to break down in detail. We're going to get nitty gritty with this stuff.
So when Payne comes out and he says, Stidham's going to let it rip, I'm taking him for his word. I think that's who Peyton is and what they're going to do, which I want Stidham props to go like in a positive way. I don't think Harvey's going to run the football at all against his Patriots defense. What say you?
Agreed. Last Sunday we discussed in painful detail, and we're going to hit on some of it again, Patriots defensive lineman Milton Williams and how he transforms the Patriots run defense into the best run defense in the league. His number, this is a shop your prop situation. I have found RJ Harvey's rushing number to vacillate by about 7 yards. And these are seven important yards, all the way up from 48.5 yards at Hard Rock, all the way down to about 42 yards or so. You'll want to be sure to be careful on that. Harvey under yardage looks really good because Milton Williams is so good. He's played 13 games this year. The Patriots are giving up 3.9 yards per carry in those 13 games with Milton Williams. Last week, Woody Marks ran for 1.2 yards per carry against the Patriots and Milton Williams. Starting running backs, and through the entire season with the 13 games that Milton Williams played, starting running backs averaging 34 yards against the Patriots. And that includes some really good players like Bijan Robinson, Devon Achane, Ashton Gentry, Alvin Kamara, Quinshon Judkins, all under what RJ Harvey's line is for next week. And that to me is a very big sign as an indicator here. Plus you add in J.K. Dobbins might return, and that would water down the Harvey line a lot. Jaleel McLaughlin's outrushed Harvey in consecutive games. And last week, when we talked about RJ Harvey, it was going against the 28th ranked Buffalo run defense. I thought they'd run him a bunch, and they still didn't run him, and he only got 6 carries. Now they're looking at running against the best run defense in the league. So I'm laddering down on RJ Harvey, starting at the 48.5, if you can find it that high, all the way down to 20 yards. Mm. And let's see just how low RJ Harvey can go in this game.
Great job. Great job last week. Always phenomenal breakdown. So then what does it mean receiving?
So now I'm flipping the script. Now, I like the Harvey over on receiving yards. Weirdly, I can't find a reception number for him.
Okay.
It's 19.5 receiving yards. Now, we played this game last week with Christian McCaffrey, where we went under McCaffrey rushes, over on the receiving. We hit that. We're doing something similar here with Harvey because the running game, I believe, will get shut down by the Patriots early. And then, out of desperation, the team's going to manufacture looks for their runners through the air to try to get something out of their running backs. And that's where RJ Harvey can be helpful here. Patriots allowed the 5th most running back receptions during the regular season and in the 2 playoff games for New England so far. Woody Marks hit the over last week. And then prior to that, the Chargers backs combined 5 catches for 50 yards against New England. So I like the Harvey over on receiving yardage. Harvey's the undisputed target leader for the Broncos, by the way. Over the last 2 months, he's averaging 21 routes per game and 4 targets per game. No other Denver running back averages more than 1 target per game. And even if J.K. Dobbins returns, it won't affect Harvey because Dobbins doesn't catch. So, you know, I'll add in this intangible as well that could help Harvey go over the 19.5 receiving yards. It's easy to envision Jarrett Stidham frequently dumping off to his safety valve in this game. You know, Stidham's gotten no passes this year. So I could see a scenario where he gets uncomfortable in the pocket, dump off stuff coming. We only need 19.5 receiving yards for RJ Harvey to go over.
All right. Like it. One more from this game. He had a catch last week. What does Austin Hooper do? He's 8.5.
8.5 yards. And we only need the 1 catch. That's all we need. He averages 13 yards per catch. So we're just looking for 1 catch for Austin Hooper. I'm going to finish this with, a very tantalizing stat for you. But in the meantime, let's note some offenses avoid that great Broncos set of cornerbacks and overall secondary by using their tight ends copiously. During the regular season, the Broncos allowed the 12th most tight end receptions, the 9th most tight end yards. Not gigantic numbers, but leading numbers. And last week, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox combined for 11 targets, 9 catches, 113 yards. In 10 different games this year, the opposition's number 2 tight end has topped Hooper's 8.5 yards 10 different times, and he averages 2 targets per game. He's never had less than 1 target in a game all year. All I need him to do is catch the 1 target or the 2 targets that he gets per game, and Austin Hooper goes over 8.5 yards.
Okay, I'm looking right now at a couple of books. Any interest at 30-1 on him to score the first touchdown of the game?
Well, he only had 2 touchdowns all season. I looked at that as well. It was tantalizing. There is a possible scenario. 30-1 is the right play. That's the right value. Still a long shot, but there's a little something there. Hunter Henry would be the better. You know, I'm guessing Hunter Henry sitting at about +2. I'm going to guess +200, +210
for the first. No, that's good. You're thinking anytime.
Yeah, I'm thinking anytime. Plus, for first, I bet it's +600.
First is 8-1, so you're close there. He's in. You can find almost 2-1 on Henry anytime.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to go receiving yards.
It's much more plausible.
Yeah, I Henry over receiving yards. I think is dynamite.
I looked at that. Yep, he's sitting at what I think it was about right around 50 receiving yards for Hunter Henry. Is that right?
I think you get 43.5.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Mid 40s.
43.5. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want to do in the NFC title game? You're really looking at receptions here with running backs. You have the floor. Take it away.
I am. I like Kyren Williams over 2.5 receptions and Blake Corum over half a reception. Let me give you the key stat that you need to know. Seattle allowed the most running back receptions during the regular season. It was a great Seattle defense, but this is the one thing. This is their kryptonite. They give up these running back receptions. Last week, they're by the way, it's 6 receptions per game. 6 is their average. I need 2.5. I got over 2.5 on Kyren Williams. I got over 0.5 on Blake Corum. So I need 3. That's it. Last week, Christian McCaffrey was on his way to a massive receiving game against Seattle until he got hurt. And even so, he still had 5 receptions. Both Williams and Corum went over in their most recent matchup between these two teams, week 16. Corum went over in the earlier matchup in week 11. So to hone in on Kyren Williams for a second, the over 2.5 receptions, he runs a very healthy 21 routes per game over the past 2 months. And I went for 2 months because that's what Blake Corum has been eating into his playing time. But Williams still getting a ton of routes. Look, 7 of the last 8 Seattle opponents have had a runner top 3 receptions. And that's all we need to get for Kyren Williams. And he's topped the 2.5 receptions in 4 of the last 5 games. So Kyren Williams over 2.5. And as for Blake Corum, here's your stat of the day. The over 1.5 receptions, 17 of 18 Seattle opponents have had a second runner get at least one reception. 17 out of 18. We call that a trend.
Wow. Okay. I'm looking at 3 catches right now for Blake Corum at 17-1.
Really?
Wow. Wow. It's not out of play. They give up 6 per game. If you think that could be split evenly, and Corum only runs about 1/3 of the routes that Williams does, but that's not out of play, and that's a good value right there.
Wow. I mean, if you want a letter, Kyren, 4+ is almost 3-1. 5+ is plus 625 out of him. 6+ is 12-1. Not every book's going to let you do that, though.
No, no. The safe play here is just to take the over half a reception, but I could see laddering up to 2. Maybe 3 receptions for Blake Corum. You could do Williams up to 5 or 6. Those are all plausible, very plausible numbers.
Well, here, I'll say the fact that Williams is 2.5 and the over is plus good 15, 16 cents, it's pretty juicy.
Yeah.
Okay, out of all those bets that you just talked about, do you have a best bet of the bunch, or are they all pretty much equal?
No, the best bet is RJ Harvey, who's going to get absolutely smoked in this game. The under 48.5 rushing yards is the best, my favorite play of the day.
Okay. Do you like it as much as Mark's last week under 55.5 against the same rush defense?
Yeah, almost as much. And particularly when you add in the J.K. Dobbins X factor here that we don't know about. I don't see RJ Harvey doing much of anything here. So that's my favorite play. Last week I told you Woody Marks was my favorite play. This is, RJ Harvey's my favorite play this week.
Very good. Follow him on X. He's at Paul Charchian. He's also a Fantasy Football Hall of Famer on the Progressive Guest Line. Going to hang around for another segment, and we're going to get into mention bets that you can find using prediction markets coming up. He's been tracking this, and he has a lot of good tidbits. What will be mentioned during the broadcast? The network games are on will factor into the probability. Charts with a rundown on it coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
You always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard here on a Thursday, beginning the hour by talking some college football as a professional sports bettor. Brad Powers joins the program here on the Progressive Guest Line. Brad, good to talk to you as always. Follow him on X at BradPower7. Website is BradPowerSports.com. You're no doubt going to be looking for bets to make for next year in college football already. You already have some in pocket. Your thoughts, advice for people who are like, well, Signetti said it's a brand new world right now. I can go out and look for 100-1 shots or more to win it next year. Are you going to do the same thing?
I am not. I'm going to say that it's more the outlier, although I'll keep it conservative. I think instead of 3 or 4 teams, what we had for 15 years, 3 or 4 teams maybe winning it all, I think that's at least doubled, maybe even tripled, where it's maybe 10 teams have a realistic shot. But, Signetti as of right now is, you know, that outlier, that one in a million type. So, and to the point where I don't think Indiana's going away, that's how much I respect them. Normally, yeah, I'd be looking to fade Indiana, a team that just did what they accomplished. But, you know, I think they're certainly right back in the mix. You know, as far as out as I went was Texas Tech. I bet them 25-1. I think they'll be the clear-cut favorite in the Big 12. They have the easiest schedule in the country. As far as Power Four teams, they'll be maybe even a double-digit favorite in every game. That's about as far as I'm willing to go as of right now.
Say that again? Double-digit favorite in every game?
Oh, Paul, their schedule's laughable.
I know you mentioned it, yeah, but this, holy cow. This might be easier than the Indiana schedule.
Yeah, I mean,
schedule.
No BYU, no Utah, nobody in the non-conference. And then, I mean, we're talking about a team that, you know, went 12-1 against the spread until they played Oregon. So, I mean, they were far and away. Look at their point differential. It was in the top 10 in college football in the last 15 years, even when counting the blowout loss to Oregon. So, and I think that they're certainly going to be better at quarterback. That was their weakness if you watch the playoff games. So, and I think defensive front maybe takes a little bit of a step back. But if you look at what they did in the portal, they did another great job at the most important position in college football, that being the defensive line. So I think they'll be just as good, if not better, than this past year's team.
Man, 2 years ago, at least Indiana played the Buckeyes. I mean, this is right. There is nothing on there for Texas Tech. That's incredible. So what do you think of Texas then? You know, with the Arch Love again and the futures on Texas as their low prices are low. What do you make Texas in some of these marquee games, and how many games are they favored in?
Yeah, I think not that I'm super wild about Texas, but I think by the end of the summer, they'll probably be the favorite. Obviously, you're going to get a lot of public love for Arch being back. You know, there'll be a lot of hype surrounding that. But I also liked what they did in the portal, went out and got Cam Coleman, the best wide receiver in the portal, went out and got the best linebacker in the portal, the kid from Pitt. Got a great 1-2 punch at running back out of the portal, kid from Arizona State. And then they stole the kid from NC State who was originally going to Alabama and Hollywood Smothers. So like what they did offensively, we'll see. They got a nice transfer late in the process on the offensive line from Wake Forest. You know, it's Sark, so I'm not super confident. But what I am confident is, you know, schedule's a little bit less difficult than what it's been. And it's not like they had an overly difficult one in the last couple of years. But the big thing, the difference between last year to this year is they get Ohio State at home. And I think they'll be favored in that game. So, you know, if they win it, like I think they will, we'll be sitting here week two. Texas will be the clear-cut favorite to win the title. So why not put a little bit in pocket right now?
Have you found many spots that are offering the Heisman market? And if you did, was the number right to take a peek at Arch Manning, or is it too short?
It's too short. I just, you know, last year I did bet him 12-1 at Circa. You know, I'm not seeing that as of right now. There's only a few books up. We'll see once it becomes a little more liquid in the market if I'm willing to take a chance. But certainly he improved the last couple games of the season against A&M and Michigan. But call me, I'm not totally a believer in him after, you know, he was pretty mediocre for most of last season.
Well, let me ask you this. So for people who want to get involved next year, like betting this stuff very early like you do, and we're talking like almost any time now, early, mid-February, whatever it is, which books, going back to like last year, maybe the last couple of years, are the first to post, just so people can maybe like look at the apps, the websites, whatever, and say, oh, look at that, they already have conference odds up, or they have this or that. Like, which books nationally have been the first usually here?
Yeah, nationally, it's FanDuel is usually the first to market. They even have a few win totals up right now, LSU, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, of all the teams, they have win totals up on those three teams. They're usually the first. DraftKings offers a few. I will say, if you're looking to bet future odds, whether it be conference futures or national championship futures or Heisman futures, you're not first to market, but they usually have the best prices, would be a Circa Sports or even a Westgate. They usually, you know, a little bit less of the theoretical hold percentage for the book on those two. So those are usually the two that I bet a lot of the futures at.
What do you make of this Mensa mess? And what do you expect him to go if he winds up with Miami? Take it away with this situation.
I think he'll end up in Miami, but I mean, I don't see how. I mean, once they rule against him, I mean, it's crazy, creating a lot of, you know, trouble. I mean, I just think Miami probably cuts Duke a check, tells him to shut up, I guess. I mean, that's the world we live in. I mean, that rumor was they were going to buy out that contract for $4 million and then give Mensa $6 million, so it was going to cost Miami 10.
Oh,
they got a lot of extra money. They pocketed the whole $20 million from the playoff run. They didn't have to share it with anybody else in the conference. So I'm expecting, you know, reading some further tea leaves, the best wide receiver at Duke, he's just recently hit the portal. Expectation, he's going to Miami. So I think they'll get those two guys. Miami won't be as good up front. That was their bread and butter on the O-line, D-line. They'll still be the ACC favorite, but I don't expect them to make another run at the title next year.
Okay. I was going to ask you, like with Crystal Ball, like did he win you over at all as the head coach of the team this year, or do you still have too many question marks?
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, certainly better than expected, but he didn't win me over. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if they would have played a cleaner game, they would have beaten Indiana. But, you know, typical fashion, you know, don't block somebody on a punt. The one touchdown Indiana had came after jumping off sides on a third down when you're going to get off the field. They went down and ended up scoring a touchdown there, among many other things. So, I think he's definitely does a good job of recruiting, getting the alums to pay the bills as good as anybody. But as far as X and O, is no way.
Well, they fixed the defense. That was an incredible coaching job. How they turned it around if they couldn't get a stop last year. We've seen so many examples of Lincoln Riley's team score, but they can't stop anything. What does Gary Patterson to USC do for you?
I'm in between. I'm not going to say, oh, wow, awesome hire. I mean, he was a Hall of Fame coach, although hasn't been coached in the last couple of years.
Right.
And didn't go well at the end of the TCU tenure to the point where they kind of let him go. I mean, your Hall of Fame coach going to put a statue of him outside the stadium and you let him go at the end. So I'm indifferent. I mean, USC's defense has been bad, I mean, to say the least, although they were a little bit improved under D'Anton Lynn. You look at how their season finished. I mean, it was just a typical Lincoln Riley team, you know, a 3rd-and-20 screen pass, missed 3-4 tackles. Until they get a different strength and conditioning program there, until Lincoln Riley practices different, I don't know if it matters who the DC is. They're just not a physical enough.
Okay, so they're not going to be the fourth Big Ten team in a row to win the national title next year?
No, I mean, if it were to be a different one, it'd be obviously Oregon. Dante Moore back. Their whole defensive front is back, which I think is pretty good. They don't have as much depth, but I mean, they got running backs back. They had a couple of true freshmen that really did well this past year. They got wide receivers. I mean, they're as loaded as anybody. The problem is, you know, schedule is a little difficult. They do have to travel to Columbus, among others. Ohio State's schedule is really difficult. So, you know, I don't know if the Big Ten makes it 4-for-4. You could talk me into Ohio State having the top power rating, but if you're looking at some of those Big Ten schedules, nobody's going unscathed. Nobody's going 16-0 or what Michigan did, you know, a couple of years ago, 15-0. I project even the best teams in the Big Ten to have one or two losses.
Okay, so maybe not a bet on this team to make like a national title at a long shot, but maybe to make the playoffs. Is there another team spending just like a boatload of money right now, crushing it in the transfer portal that could be this year's Texas Tech, last year's Indiana, one or the other?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I'm probably not there yet to find that undercover team, but I'll tell you a couple that are doing pretty well in the portal. I'll give you a bunch. UCLA is doing better than expected. I couldn't believe Bob Chesney took the job. One of the UCLA alums reached out to me, one of the big wigs, said, nope, he took the job because we're going to spend money. And that's exactly what they've done in the portal. So I think they could be better than expected in year one under Chesney. Certainly James Franklin and Virginia Tech, with the ACC kind of down outside of Miami, they can make a move towards the ACC championship game with what they've done in the portal, what they did in the recruiting class. So they can make a move in that conference. Keep it also an eye on Louisville in the ACC. They've had a pretty good offseason, and they certainly could be in the mix. Obviously, they beat Miami last year. If Jeff Brohm could just be a little bit more consistent with the teams that he should beat, they're a team to look out for. And then I'll give you another first-year coach that I think could be better than expected. I like the staff that has been put together at Florida, whether it be the new head coach, John Summerall, his coordinators, and what they've done in the portal. I think they could be, you know, at least a lot better than what they've been the last 5 years at Florida.
Very good. Awesome stuff, Brad. Thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Great.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
There you go. Professional sports better, Brad Powers. Follow him on X at BradPower7. Website is BradPowerSports.com.
Also grabbed Miami 200-1 during the week of Selection Sunday. to win it all. And he put the ticket up there as well. So he's small hedge and made out with that ticket.
The first number that I saw in Texas Tech was 14.
Yeah.
If I can find a 25 to 1, I have to hop on that. I did not realize.
You mentioned it on air, but to take it to that extent, double digit favorite. And oh, my God.
Yeah. And better at quarterback.
No doubt.
And they will be really good, obviously, like in the trenches yet again. Finalists for NFL awards were announced earlier today. And the Broncos might be incapable of overcoming the biggest difference between Bo Nix and Jared Stidham. I'll tell you what it is coming up here on VSiN. Welcome back. Pretty awesome card this weekend in the UFC. And to talk about it now, we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Our buddy, Uncle Lou Finicaro, joins the program. Follow him on X at GamLou. Also, the Bout Business podcast. What's up, partner?
Guys, I'm tickled that it's this time of year. We get to talk a little bit about the UFC heading into the finals of the NFL season. I'm happy to be on.
Okay, so let's start with the main event. Paddy Pimblett taking on Justin Gaethje. Pimblett about minus 240. Gaethje, you can find as high as plus 205. At least that was a little bit before the show started when I was looking around in different books. Your breakdown of this fight, Lou?
My breakdown of this fight revolves a lot around the age. Gaethje is 37 years old, Pimblett 31. That's 6 years. 6 years represents 62%. In that, fighters younger than their opponent by 6 years or more win 62% of the time, and the more the youth advantage, the more that percentage goes up. The UFC absolutely wants Pimblett to win this fight because he represents a similar scenario to the co-main events, Sean O'Malley. That's lightning in a bottle. They love the Scouser accent. They love the England draw. This guy is international. He's mouthy, and he puts and will put well more butts in the seat in future fights for them. So that's why we went to Paramount, and they definitely want Paddy Pimblett to win the fight. Can he win the fight? I think he does have the tools to win the fight. Gaethje has shown susceptibility to having his back taken and being submitted. It's not a fight that I am on other than, I believe, when we get down to another parlay, the main event to start round three, I do believe that's a very good, strong consideration at a minus 150.
Okay, excellent. Another guy they want to win is O'Malley, who's a $2 favorite. How do you want to play O'Malley? Who do you want to put him with?
Yeah, O'Malley I used in a parlay, and I wrote this up on the VSiN Digital Magazine this week. I believe O'Malley, the key to this fight against Yadong, who's a powerful striker and has good, capable wrestling, is feet. We're in a 30-foot cage. O'Malley will control space with his feet, with his adroit ability to move and evade strikes. And this is a pitter-patter paint job over the course of three rounds. I think O'Malley wins in a one-sided decision, but he also represents lightning in a bottle. And they would love to get him past this fight into a rematch with current champion Petr Yan, who these two guys, O'Malley and Yan, fought a few years ago. O'Malley won in a razor-close split decision that he shouldn't have won.
Okay, so O'Malley then, again, at that price, you're looking to hook him up in a parlay that would pay about plus 125 with somebody else on the card. Who is that fighter?
Yes, thank you for steering me back that way, Mitch. The other fighter on the card is a flyweight, and his name is Charles Johnson. He's fighting a guy in Alex Perez, who's been wildly inactive since 2020, six fights. Johnson's had 11. He's longer, taller, more violent, and in that large cage, two small flyweights are going to look like two flies in a barrel. But Johnson's got power, and that size and range is going to be make it really tough for Alex Perez to engage and get inside so he can grapple and wrestle. And so for that reason, Charles Johnson with Sean O'Malley together, one unit will bring you a plus 125 return.
Excellent. How about the unique way you're playing the Allen fight?
Yeah, I'm playing it unique because I'm conservative and I want to cash a ticket. This price opened with Jean Silva, the barking Brazilian, at minus 150. His number has absolutely ballooned. That's disrespectful to Allen. The issue with Allen is that he is a little similarly to Perez. He hasn't been that active. And so that can really bring out some lethargy, maybe a little rust, if you'll excuse the expression. But Allen has never been finished in his career. He's tough. He's durable, got great wrestling, and he's going to give Jean Silva all he wants. I believe this fight goes to decision. If I can get Allen plus 3.5 points at a plus price, I think that's a very, very sound way to approach that fight.
All right. Another dog, Krylov, plus $1.30 in his fight. Make the case for this dog.
Yeah, in this particular case, I'm getting the worst of it, guys, because Bukauskas, the Lithuanian fighter, has won 4 in a row. But against dog meat competition, excuse me saying that, and Bukauskas opened minus 200, the original take back on Krylov, plus 170. So I'm getting the worst of the number here, but I like Krylov for his well-roundedness. I like the fact that who he has been in with really sets him up well here. Yes, he's lost his last two fights, but he's lost his last two fights to Guskov and Dominic Reyes, the guys that are ranked fighters. Level of competition is how I'm handicapping this one, and Krylov as a dog, I'm all about.
Okay, it's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Lou Finicaro, our guest, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. Podcast is called Bout Business. You're going to see a couple of plus prices next to some recognizable names in this sport. One, let's begin on the ladies' side. Rose Namajunas, who has been dynamite in her career, is plus 330 now. I think that was at Circa before the show started. But you want to go the other way and get creative here as well. How do you want to bet Natalia Silva?
Yeah, Natalia Silva opened minus 150. That number was wrong. Now, she's standing in for Alexa Grasso. That's who Rose was initially supposed to fight. Rose has had more difficulty up at this weight class, 125. She won her championship at 115. Silva is an up-and-coming Brazilian who is beautiful, engaging, and can really fight, very well-rounded. She surely holds advantage here in this fight, despite the fact that these gals are only about 5 years apart. What I really like about Silva and this fight, fellas, is that the three-round fight is lined to 2.5 rounds over minus 475. These women's fights are pillow fights. They almost always go to decision. If I can grab Natalia Silva on the decision, minus 225, I believe that's how the fight ends, and then I'm going to boomerang it into that main event, as we talked just a little bit earlier, where the main event starts round 3, minus 150, that parlays a plus 140. That's how I'm going to attack both the main event and Natalia Silva.
Okay, and the other big dog here is a guy who has made a lot of people a lot of money as a big dog in recent years, but you don't think it's a wise idea to blindly bet Derek Lewis this weekend, huh?
I like Derek Lewis. He's an exciting fighter. He's got maybe as much as 6 or 7 minutes of fight in him. Waldo Cordez Acosta asked for this fight. He's the younger man, the faster man, the more explosive man, maybe not the more powerful man. And yes, that price on the beast, Derek Lewis, really is enticing and it's juicy. The only problem is that if this fight gets to the second round, I think Lewis is going to be out of juice. And I'm not high on Salzaboy, Waldo Cortez Acosta, but this is a favorable matchup to him. I'm not making any position on this fight.
Fair enough. A couple of NFL games this weekend. Your best bet would be what number or what team?
Yeah, my best bet is Seattle in this spot, and it's tied neck and neck with Denver. I like home teams. I like defense in Denver. I like altitude. I'm not afraid of Stidham. I think the reaction's been too much. But as far as the Seahawks are concerned, I believe this is Darnold's time. And while the Rams represent a huge challenge, let's not forget that on DVOA, Rams special teams, oh, by the way, they had a punt blocked against Philly, 26th in the NFL, Seattle's second. In a tight, close game among teams that are familiar with one another, give me Seattle, and I'll lay the 2.5.
All right, buddy.
Very good.
The DVOA thing with the special teams could absolutely play a huge factor in that game.
I mean, when we get this close and this far, special teams is a third of the game, and it's important.
Very true. Thanks, Lou. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to talk to you.
Continue watching. Great show.
Appreciate it. Follow Lou on X at GamLou. Podcast is called Bout Business, and he does his weekly UFC write-ups on the website at vsin.com.
Yeah, he's right. Ask Miami. Special teams huge.
No doubt. Ask those Packers teams.
Yes.
The Saints had some, this goes back to Sean Payton, Saints with Drew Brees, some bad special teams years, and they would never make the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about the team that actually won it, but other teams that won a lot of games would always come back and haunt them. He's right. This time of year, that can be a third of the game that you're talking about. Shahid is so dangerous,
I
too.
Know.
You said something yesterday.
Out of bounds.
Punt
it out of bounds. Kick it through the end zone. Don't mess around.
All right, so Sean Payton told us Jared Stidham is going to let it rip. Then some of his prop numbers are too low based on Denver's season with Bo Nix, in my opinion. I'll explain coming up next.